Throughout the 66 books of the Bible, the 1,185 chapters, the 31,607 verses, there isn't one that says you're a failure. It is time for us to lose the delusional concept and start having vision. Vision comes from changing your environment. Stop the insanity.
For your love offering of $25 or more, receive Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr.'s three-part series titled Stop the Insanity on CD or DVD. To order, call 1-800-650-9435.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Our passage today comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. And it's a very difficult transition to be a Christian. It is not easy to be a Christian. It is probably the most difficult thing that you will ever encounter. And the reason is because Christianity does not depend upon emotional response. You can't feel your way to victory. The difference between Christianity and regular religion is that Christianity pulls on your knower, not your feeler. Throughout the scripture, God is trying to get you to know stuff. Why? Because feelings change. Someone can tell you that they love you. And then through a series of events, listen to me very carefully, the status of the relationship may change, but the love should not. Now, I hope you can walk with me. I hope you can. Do you know that it is highly possible for you to reach a place in your marriage where the two of you can't live together anymore and begin to develop irreconcilable differences? Those differences are external. Now, listen carefully. Those differences can cause you to recommend divorce. You can say, I think that based upon the amount of differences, you and I should not be together anymore. I mean, even the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? So you reach that status of irreconcilable differences, and so you separate. But if you loved one another, even though you've separated, you still love. If you loved, that's the caveat. If, but most of us marry from attraction and emotion. Most of us connect from attraction, emotion. We marry for attraction and emotion. We connect because of attraction, emotion, and loneliness. Something has happened in our past that causes us to reach to this person, and the person ministers to what we lack. And then once the lack is taken care of, we're no longer adjusted. We're no longer pulled to them. We're no longer feeling like they're part of us because the lack has been taken care of. So we enter into a relationship that grows to a physical relationship, but it's predicated and built upon what the person is during the moment of need. Listen carefully. We do the same thing with God. We come to God beaten, bruised, battered, and broken, right? And then, praise the Lord, I want to be saved. Then we get saved, and God starts the long, arduous task of healing, delivering, and blessing us. Once he does that, once he deals with those things that are breaking us, that are hurting us, then the attraction begins to wane because now we are all right. Everything is better. And how do we know when our walk with God has become infiltrated by the world? Not by sin. Not by sin. Because our enemy is very clever. He will not pull you into sin knowing that the Holy Spirit can convict you of sin. But the Holy Spirit does not convict you of what we're going to study today. And this particular thing will pull you into a dysfunctional relationship with God. That means you'll just come to church, but then leave church and still have the same things on you. No, it's not smoking, drinking, fornication, and all that other stuff. Those things can be handled by the blood of Jesus. But what we are going to address today, God says this is becoming the number one problem in the church. It is harming our relationships with God and others. In the book of Matthew, chapter 11, Jesus, having completed the Sermon on the Mount, and then here in chapter 11, this chapter starts out with the disciples of John coming to him and asking, is he the one that John talks about? And Jesus dealt with that, and then he goes on to preach John's eulogy. When he was finished preaching John's eulogy, he then, in verse 20, begins to speak against some major cities whose lifestyle was contrary to biblical teaching and training. In fact, his rebuke of Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, Tyre and Sidon, his judgment towards them was more than, he said, they would receive a greater judgment than the people of Sodom. He said, because if Sodom saw what you saw, they would have repented. And so here you are, Chorazin, Bethsaida, Tyre and Sidon, and all these other places he mentions, they are going to be the recipients of great judgment. He goes on to say, he says in verse 25, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these great principles from theological big shots who argue position, status, and doctrine, and ignore the essence of Christianity. Christianity is not about doctrine. It is not about dogma. It is not about being right. Listen to me. Christianity is about relationship. It is not about works. It is not about what you do for God. It is what you are to God. You see, I make this statement when I counsel young pastors and young pastors who are aspiring to go into full-time ministry. I keep getting the same argument. They want to know, if I go into full-time ministry, what am I supposed to do? And I make it very clear that you are called to sit before God. Your job now is God. That means 8 hours. You sit and study the Word of God. You sit in the presence of God. You hear from the mind and mouth and heart of God. Most of them begin to tremble with that reality because there aren't many of us who have been taught how to minister to God. And that's why our Christian life is peppered with doing for God, but not being. The devil attacks your doing. You ever notice that when you get discouraged, you stop doing? Well, I ain't coming to church, and I'm not doing this no more, and I'm not serving in that no more. So the devil attacks your doing because he knows that we are works-oriented, and no matter how much grace comes from God, we still hold on to works. Now, God is trying to get us from the works motif, especially now. One of my greatest struggles as pastor of a growing church is that we do too much. Our announcements are too long. We have too much stuff going on. Because if we're not careful, we will keep doing stuff and not have time to pray. Jesus didn't say my house shall be called a house of fellowships or a house of conferences or a house of banquets. He said that my house shall be called a house of prayer. Now, isn't it amazing that we have so many ministries, but we don't have a whole lot of prayer because we're doing too much stuff.
Now listen carefully, because I need to pull on, two verses out of this chapter. After he thanks God for holding these truths back from big shots, he says, but you've revealed them to babes. He said, even so, Father, you've done it because it seems good in your sight. Why is it good in the sight of God to give these spiritual truths to people who do not want positions? Why does it seem good in the sight of God to give these truths to people who don't want to be a big shot? Let's go on. Let's go on. Keep things in context. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. You hear what he's saying? No one knows the heart of Jesus but God, and no one knows the heart of God but Jesus. Now, we'll hear people say they know God's heart, but they don't, because Jeremiah said that there is none righteous, there is none that seeks after thee. Why? Because we don't know him. We are pulled into a relationship with him, but this relationship is really one-sided because we don't take the time to get to know him. We ask for things that are not of him. We desire things that have nothing to do with him because we want the church and the world to think that we're special. For example, many of us erroneously say, I want God to use me. Well, my question would be, why? Why do you want to be used of God? If you dig down deep past all the trash and get to your real heart, you will find that many people are motivated by the need to be recognized. Not everybody, but many are. So I always say, I don't want God to use me. That is not my desire. I want God to love me. Listen carefully. See, using stops, but loving goes on. God can use you, but you might not like what he wants to use you to do. But if he loves you, no matter what happens in your life, you know you're coming out on top. I just see being used of God in many cases is for us. It's for me. It's for the flesh to say, look at what God is doing. Look at what God is doing. But do you know that if you walk in love, that's really saying, look at what God is doing. Taking me from a fallen position and putting me in an upright position, pulling me from the kingdom of darkness, seating me in heavenly places, purifying my heart and my mind, sanctifying my body and my soul, establishing me in the fellowship of the beloved. If you never cast out a devil, never lay hands on a sick person, you can know the love of Jesus.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
17P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.